Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it shall be given, and the love will come a-tumbling down. That was a song we sang many Sunday nights at youth group at Second Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We also sang Pass It On. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And Amazing Grace to the tune of House of the Rising Sun. It was the 70s. I thought of the Seek Ye First song often when I was in college. It summed up the way one of my friends lived her life. She prayed about everything, and she especially prayed for parking spaces. She was a very able-bodied 18-year-old. But this was a college campus, after all. Parking spaces were a premium, and they were also a premium at Wendy's, where she liked for us to take her when she was really hungry, this tiny little barely 5-foot thing. But she would pray out loud for a parking space as we were driving around Wendy's. And I would pray silently, "Dear God, please don't let us find a parking space. Just this once. God, let her think that you don't care about these kind of prayers. Just once." But she always got a parking space, every single time. That Alabama native now lives in New York City, and she doesn't need a car. I hope to catch up with her one day and ask her about those prayers and what she thinks of prayer now. One of our friends would often remind this brilliant woman that she would take her to Wendy's, but only if she would order a chicken sandwich. Say it. Chicken sandwich, not a chicken Sammy. That's how she liked to order her sandwiches, chicken Sammy. But no baby talk in public. No, we don't do that. What we didn't know at the time was that this friend had already experienced a lot of the world's sorrows, more than her share. And in those days of parking lot prayers and baby talk, she hid all that pain behind a beautiful smile. And I wonder how it is that humans are able to compartmentalize and pray simple prayers, expecting them to be answered even when their personal life holds deep pain. Prayers for parking spaces, even in the midst of suffering. Maybe it's because those answers are clearer, quicker, cleaner. Maybe because we think God can accomplish that, if nothing else. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it shall be given. This one verse brings equal amounts of pain and joy. This one verse feels like a door slammed in the face for some and a beautiful welcome mat for others. It's one of those things we don't talk about in church. How much doubt this one verse can spark. Depending on where you've been, what you've known of this life, and what you've been told about God, this verse can echo with an empty hollowness or resound with a rich affirmation. Seek, and you will find. Except that oftentimes we don't. We don't find the peace we are searching for. We don't find the hope that we desperately need. We don't find someone else who eases our loneliness. We seek and seek until our eyes are sore and red and swollen. And that is some of our truth. Knock, and the door will be opened. Except that it sometimes seems to stay locked. And not just locked, but dead bolted. And even if we could get through those, there's a chain on the door and a security system waiting to scream its warning. We knock on the doors of career opportunities and no one answers. We knock on the door of a neighbor's house in need of a hand, but no one's there. We knock and knock until our knuckles are sore and bleeding. And that is some of our truth. Ask and it shall be given. Except that we do ask. And we ask and we sometimes hear silence. Or we hear No. We ask for healing for a loved one, but healing doesn't always come. We ask for forgiveness from a friend, but they turn away. We ask for strength to resist, but we don't find it. We yell into the silence, and our words fall to the ground. And that is some of our truth. We don't talk about these feelings. We don't talk about how prayer sometimes feels for us. But we need to be honest. So let's think about prayer. And let's think about what happened yesterday. Yesterday morning at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, our nation experienced its 250th mass shooting. A few hours later in Dayton, Ohio, on a typically friendly street where people enjoyed restaurants and music, another mass shooting took place, number 251. Government's Archive, a not-for-profit organization that provides online public access to information about gun-related violence, including the 22,000 suicides a year that take place in our country as a result of guns. They categorize mass shootings as incidents in which four or more people were shot or killed, not including the shooters. Yesterday, on the calendar, was the 215th day of 2019. 215 days. 251 mass shootings. We can do that math. The majority of these don't receive much attention. Drive-by shootings, domestic situations, gang violence. If we cared as much about these incidents as we do the larger ones, might we have already done something about gun proliferation? The biggies, the schools, the entertainment venues, the churches, the shopping malls. The media will be obsessed with the details. And as always, we will hear the words, thoughts and prayers. Sometimes we will hear that said with sincere and deep compassion. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. We don't know what else to say. But other times it will be said with anger, we don't want any more of your thoughts and prayers. I turned on CNN yesterday at a moment when the reporters were interviewing a representative of an organization providing free burials for all the victims. They were partnering with funeral homes on both sides of the border in Juarez and El Paso, so that no family would have to bear this additional burden. And though it shouldn't be this way, God is present in this act of compassion, and that is God embodied in that organization. A mother of three died in El Paso. She sheltered her baby with her body, and as she fell, the infant sustained some broken bones, but she saved her baby's life. And God is tragically present in that sacrifice. And God is enfleshed in that mother's love. Community members lined up to give blood for the victims. And God is incarnate in this gift of life. We shouldn't have to do these things. But these are prayer answers enacted. These are answers to the seeking and the knocking and the asking. People are living out the answers to the cries of their neighbors, and God depends on us to be the answers to the prayers that are pouring into heaven. This weekend in Washington, D.C., two of our members, Judy Taylor and Gilly Presley, have joined with people from around the country as Moms Demand Action, attend a training event so that they can come back and help us work for change. They are a visible answer to prayer as they work for sensible gun legislation. They are part of the answer to the ongoing prayers for safety, for peace, for hope. In this section of Luke's gospel, Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray at their request. He then tells a story about prayer, a parable, and an example of the extravagance of God's love. In the parable, a resident wakes his neighbor because he is in need of food for his guest. In the middle of the night, he shamelessly bangs on his neighbor's door. Now, many translations have led us to believe that it is his persistence that gets him what he needs. And persistence is important, especially when the fight is long and seems to take forever. But it is actually brashness, boldness, shamelessness that he is demonstrating. That is what the word really means. As much as we possibly can, we are to live out the answers to the prayers of God's people. Not only are we to feed and to clothe and to visit, to befriend and to welcome, but fearlessly and boldly, we are to work for the change God longs to see in this world. We who have been blessed with abundance must share. We who have been blessed with education must teach. We who have been blessed to know peace must demonstrate peace in the smallest of things, in the smallest, tiniest of actions. We who are safe from prejudice and racism must be willing to take risks for those who are not safe. And all of us who have a voice must lift it up to shamelessly lobby for change. Our children are dying. Our mothers and fathers are dying. Our neighbors are dying. We must be brash. When I heard yesterday's news, my next thought was, when will it be here? When will it be here? It's everywhere. And though there is no one profile that fits all these shooters, we have heard time and time again stories of exclusion, stories of bullying, of indoctrination into lives fueled by hatred of the other. So what can we do? It means we must start right here in our own house. We must open our own hearts and ask God to shine light in the corners where hatred can hide, where it can nestle in. We must ask God to open our eyes to our own biases, for we all have them. If we are to be peacemakers in the world, we must begin by finding peace within our own souls, and we must nurture that peace in our community. Let us pray that when people come here, they will feel God's compassion, warmth and welcome and acceptance, and not syrupy and sweet, but strong and shameless. We cannot wait. We must labor unashamedly for peace if we do not want people to lose hope. Those who suffer from acts of violence must know that when they seek safety, they will find it. That when they knock, the door to refuge will be answered. That when they ask for life, it will be given. God needs us to be the embodiment of the answers to the prayers of a hurting world. Listen again to verse 13. If you who are evil, if you don't like that word evil, then use human. If you who are human know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the promise God has made. Let us not waste our breath praying for parking spaces or sunny days. God already knows we like those things. Let us pray for the continual outpouring of God's Spirit upon our souls. Let us pray that God's disruptive wind will continually unsettle us so that we, like those first disciples, might find ourselves rushing out into the streets to speak in language bold and fresh, the words of peace that our world so desperately needs to hear. For the victimized and for those who torment, all in need of peace. We must include the tormentors in our prayers. We must, for they are broken as broken can be. Our world needs to hear your voice. Our world needs to see you living peacefully. Let your words and let your actions be that mirror of God the world so desperately needs to see. And let us give thanks to God, in whom our peace is found. Amen.